All right, well, my name is Sherry. Some of you might not know me because I go to the 11 o'clock service. But I'm here because of two people in my life. Paul said to Timothy in his second letter, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that now lives in you also. I am blessed and privileged because I can put my grandma's name and my mom's name in those verses for me." Now, my grandma, you might think, was my mom's mom, but my grandma that influenced me was my dad's mom, and her name was Marge Osmussen. She was born and raised in Clinton, Iowa, which is at the Hump on the Mississippi, a town similar to Grand Rapids in a lot of ways. She was German and Catholic, and she had to get married at 16 and drop out of school, and she was rejected by her Catholic church and rejected by my grandpa's Lutheran church. And she found her home in the Lions Methodist Church in Clinton, Iowa, where she felt welcomed and loved the rest of her life. Two things I learned from her is the power of prayer and to always count your blessings. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." That verse is my grandma. I thought when I was growing up that she had a hotline to God. You know, like one of those red phones the president used to have on his desk, and she'd pick it up and say, "Now, God, Sherry needs this." And I thought that God answered her immediately. And I learned that as I've grown up in my faith, that we all have that hotline to God. And I'm so thankful that Jesus gave us access to him. When I was a little bit older, my grandpa had died, and my grandma lived in a new house. We were visiting, and she would tuck us all into bed. And from where I was sleeping, I could see her in her bed, and she would, at nighttime, she would kneel at her bed, and she'd read her devotional, and she would pray. What a beautiful picture I have of seeing her do that every single time that I visited. I know she did it every night that she could. And then when she got a little bit older, she couldn't kneel anymore, and she would pray in the morning when she woke up. And one day she was telling me on the phone, she's like, "Sherry, I feel so terrible." I'm like, "Why, Grandma?" She said, "Well, I keep falling asleep when I pray." And I'm like, and I started laughing. And she's like, "Well, why are you laughing?" I said, "Well, Grandma, I sure hope I was at the beginning." Because she would start praying over again. So she's like, "Oh, yeah." So then she didn't think that was so bad. So, and then James says, "Indeed, the prayer of a righteous woman is powerful and effective." And I believe that that was my grandma. In terms of counting my blessings, the time that it really hit me was when Brian and I were young and first married, and he was in college and we didn't have a lot and we were kind of broke, and I kind of whined to my grandma about our circumstances, and she would say, "No, you have many things to be thankful for," and she would show me all the things that I had to be blessed, and that really stuck with me. And I learned that in all circumstances, especially the hard ones, to look for God in the big things and the small things. And that's why I think that my grandma's favorite expression was, "My cup overflows." And so, like a good preschool teacher, I brought you a visual aid. So you can remember that your cup overflows too, and the blessings that God has given you. The other person that I'd like to tell you about is my mom. Most people called her Ruthie. She was born and raised in Dayton, Ohio. She grew up in the Baptist church, and she loved her church. She had a huge loss, though, when she was 17. Her dad died suddenly, and that was a huge impact on the rest of her life. She loved her dad, and her dad loved her very much. And that summer, she and my nanny and her family, my uncle Buddy, and her grandma and grandpa, they went to Florida to the beach. And I believe that that was where God started to heal her heart from that huge hurt. And my mom always loved the beach the rest of her life. And later on, finally, she got my dad to move to Florida so she could be by that beach every day. And she loved it. She was very gifted at worship. She just had a way about her. She loved Psalm 103. It said, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, all my soul." My mom loved singing in the choir. She loved playing the piano and the organ. She was good at planning worship services. She was a lay speaker in the church, and she could do workshops and talks. And one of my favorite memories that I'll have before she passed away was my sister and I were there helping her get ready and we were going through her closet, and she had a lot of clothes, and she had an outfit for every talk that she ever gave, or every Sunday. She had a Palm Sunday dress, she had, you know, Christmas Eve dress. And it was awesome because, and I wish now looking back that we had taped it, but my sister and I didn't know it was going to be such the experience that it was, but we got to hear for every outfit what she talked about in that dress. And before, when we were planning her service, my dad and the pastor of our church in Illinois both said that they did not like following my mom on a Sunday that she had preached. They didn't want to preach the next Sunday after her. So I think that's quite a compliment. And then she told me before she died that she had asked God for two things. She wanted to be in second row in the alto section, and she wanted an antebellum mansion. So I'm thinking that's where she is. One of her favorite verses was, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." And so when I was in Florida after she had passed away, and I was kind of in the kitchen, which is where my mom started her day and her devotion and her prayer, and I was standing there and I was kind of asking God, why did she have this way about her? She had such a ministering spirit, a loving spirit to people. I said, how did she do that, God? And he brought my attention to this prayer that was on her fridge that I had never noticed before. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, yes, Lord, that's it. And then later I was in our house in Illinois, in Edinburgh, in the kitchen, and I noticed this tin on the counter, and it was the same prayer. So here's the tin, and I'm going to read you the prayer. It says, "Today, Lord, let my life be a prayer. Let me be so close to you that you become a part of my every conversation. Let me be open to your presence so that I sense your power at work in the world that you created. Let me be so filled with your love that it flows out to others. Today, Lord, let my life be a prayer." And that so speaks to me of how my mom was to people every day. At the end of Paul's letter to Timothy, he says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me to that day." March 18th, 2011 is my mom's crown day. In heaven, I picture my mom in the words of "Trust and Obey." Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet. And I picture my grandma sitting next to Jesus, whispering in his ear the prayers for my family. I chose for us to sing "Blessed Assurance" because it reminds me of growing up, and it also reminds me, it's one of my favorites, and it also speaks to me of my mom and my grandma, that this is my story, this is my song, that my mom and my grandma praise their Savior all their days long. Amen.